if it's prophesied in the Bible. I'll tell you why. Because Daniel chapter 11 verses 40 through 45 specifically tell us that during the great tribulation, there will be nations on earth who will oppose the Antichrist. Not everybody's going to go along with his plan. We want the United States to be one of those nations. It doesn't tell us all the nations and their names. We want the United States to continue to be a hub of worldwide revival, sending missionaries like we talked about this morning around the world. Hallelujah. America is the greatest Christian nation on the face of the earth. But if we allow ourselves to just roll over and play dead and go along with whatever, we can forfeit our rights. We should not do that. We need to stand up for what is pure and holy and right in the eyes of God. Satan, of course, will be confined to earth during this 3.5-year tribulation. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You see, the accuser of God's people is banished from heaven. He is confined to earth. He then inhabits the Antichrist, who becomes Satan manifest in the flesh. Remember, he knows he has but a short time. 3.5 years is a short time. He knows that, Bible. And that's why there's going to be so much chaos. Oh, Satan is called in the Bible the God of this world. He's not our God. That's why we're not of this world. Because our God is Jesus Christ. And he rules the universe. But he's allowed for a short time Satan to be called the God of this world from a wicked standpoint. But it's only going to be for a temporary period of time, and he will be completely defeated. Praise God. And Satan will be cast alive into the lake of fire. I know it sounds gruesome, but thank God that he will not always have the control he has. But for a while, it will be great tribulation such as the world has never seen and never known. And that is why in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus told the Jews, he warned them, he said, when you see that abomination of desolation, that Antichrist stand in the temple claiming to be God, when that happens, he told them, head for the hills, slap on your Nikes and head for the hills. Well, he didn't say the Nike part, but he said, go to the hills around Jerusalem. He was talking, you see what we got? We've got over 200,000 Orthodox religious Jews that live in the West Bank. What is the West Bank? The West Bank is Judea Samaria, which is a critical part of the Promised Land. Remember Genesis 15, 18. They believe that land is theirs because they're religious and they adhere to the Old Testament scriptures, the Torah. And they believe that is their land. Now, what has happened is because of all of the bombings and the suicide attacks from the Arabs, from the Palestinian Authority, and Hamas, and Fatah, these are terrorist organizations that are of the Arab origin, and they live and they operate and they set up their terrorist networks in the West Bank. And they were going, in the early part of this decade, when Sharon was prime minister, what they were doing, they were strapping bombs to their bodies, and they were going into downtown Jerusalem, and they were getting on buses and they were blowing themselves up and killing innocent people. And they were going into restaurants in Jerusalem, blowing themselves up. So the Israeli government, led by Ariel Sharon, said, we're going to build a wall. And they did. And it's not done yet, but it's a lot of it is. It's huge. It's tall. It's in some places like 30 feet tall, a thick concrete wall. And it's a high-tech wall with cameras and sensors. And it's amazing. The Israelis are, they're just good with technology. They're just amazing people. And it's because God has his hand on them. And so they built this wall around Israel proper, separating Israel proper from Judea, Samaria, the West Bank. The problem with that is Judea, Samaria, the West Bank, is just as much a part of the Promised Land, according to Scripture, as Jerusalem and Israel proper. And can you imagine the Israeli government at some point saying, now that we have the wall finished and it's almost done, the Israeli government wants it done by the end of this year. It's yet to be seen if it will. But once it's done, I could see now the Israeli government telling all those Orthodox Jews living on the other side in the West Bank or in Judea, Samaria. The media calls it the West Bank, but the Bible calls it Judea, Samaria. And I could see the Israeli government telling them, okay, the wall's finished. We want to protect you from these suicide attacks from these terrorists. So we want you to relocate and come inside Israel proper, and we'll pay for your housing. They already started these evacuations. Remember, a few years ago, they evacuated 8,500 religious Jews out of Gaza. It was a horrific sight. I mean, these were IDF soldiers, Israeli Defense Force soldiers, that were going into Jewish neighborhoods in Gaza and forcing their own citizens out of their homes. Now, they had good intentions. They said, we've got to protect you from these terrorists. But what they failed to recognize, what these were religious Jews. They believe they need to live there by the biblical mandate. That's their land, and they don't want to leave it. And many of them actually, I mean, we're talking people who don't believe the New Testament. They believe the Old Testament till their death, though. And many of them have taken up arms and filled their homes. I'm talking about religious Jews. Many of them have filled their homes with weapons because they believe they're going to have to fight to the death to keep their land. You know all the wars in the Old Testament? Well, they still believe they're there. You know? I mean, Calvary took care of all that. And Jesus said, the Lord said in his word, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's what his word says. We no longer deal with situations like they did in the Old Testament. We don't believe we should go to war like that, like they did in the Old Testament over there in Israel. We believe we should take care of things spiritually now. And so they, however, still believe that they need to take up arms like they did in the Old Testament. And so the Lord said, when you see this abomination of desolation, there will be great tribulation such as never was before. In other words, they're probably going to stay there in that Judea-Samaria area, and the great tribulation is going to begin with this great slaughter of the Arabs slaughtering the Jews. There's going to be another great slaughtering of the Jews. I am sad to say this. And we felt so strongly about this several years ago. End Time Ministries sent, I think, 140-some thousand magazines to the religious Jewish residents that live there in this Judea-Samaria area, warning them that this is coming. And some of them wrote back and found it. Some of them said they were very thankful for the information. There were others who were very irate and said, leave us alone. You get a whole mixture. So that, my friends, is where we're at. And Satan launches this great tribulation. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, as the musicians come, please. And ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devils come down unto you having great wrath. Now, this right here is the proof that the great tribulation is not the wrath of God. Some say, well, we're not appointed to wrath. You're right. But the great tribulation is not the wrath of God. It's the wrath of Satan. It's right there. Because he knoweth that he has a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. Now, the woman in this case is a symbol of Israel, who brought forth the man-child. Israel brought forth the Messiah, Jesus Christ. When you therefore see the abomination spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand, for then shall be great tribulation. In other words, when you see the Antichrist standing in the holy place. I mean, Pastor talked this morning about the high priest once a year going into the Holy of Holies. And he had to do it with fear and trembling, because if everything wasn't just right, God could strike him graveyard dead right there. And here this Antichrist has the audacity to go into the Holy of Holies and proclaim to be God? No wonder why Jesus called it an abomination. And that's when the great tribulation will begin, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I sense somebody is beginning to understand these things. And somebody under the sound of my voice is saying, you know what? I want to be right with God. Because if you're right with God, if you're where you need to be in the Lord, I'm talking about being born again, you don't have to worry about all this stuff. I mean, we need to know it. But in other words, you don't have to live in fear. Now, if I knew all this, and I knew it was true, and I wasn't living for God, I'd be scared to death. You better believe it. But you know what? I can tell you these things, and I know all this stuff's true. But I have peace in my heart, and I know this stuff's coming. I know there's coming a war that's going to kill 2 billion people, a nuclear holocaust. I know the great tribulation is coming, but I've got peace in my soul. I don't like a lot of this stuff that's coming any more than you do. But we have peace because we've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? Can I get a witness from the church tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I've got hope. We have hope for anyone here tonight that wants to be born again. It's so easy. Did you say that when you were filled with the Holy Ghost? I did. I thought, man, that was so, it's wonderful. And I don't minimize the experience at all. But we get all kinds of ideas in our head. When we get the Holy Ghost, we think, man, what's it going to be like? You know what? 95% of the key to getting the Holy Ghost is letting God take over. Surrendering. Let the Lord take control of your heart and your spirit and your mind. All that happens is the Lord comes on the inside. He said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's in the heart comes out of our mouth, right? It's like there's a direct link between this right here and this right here. When you get this right, this becomes right. And that's why God chose speaking with other tongues as the evidence that he's on the inside. Now, there are some people that teach that it's of the devil, but they're not in the book when they do that, because the church was born in the book of Acts and they spoke with other tongues, and there's nothing in the Bible that says it stopped at any point. It's the evidence that God lives on the inside. And it's not something we muster up or make up or imitate someone else. It's simply as you and I worship the Lord and he comes on the inside, what happens is you begin to sense that the Lord is taking control. And whatever your native tongue is, I think most of us here speak English, but it doesn't matter whether you speak Chinese or Spanish or Hungarian or whatever, you're going to begin speaking a language you don't understand, and God takes over. Now, I've heard miracles. I know, I'm sure Pastor has probably told you about miracles of people who will be worshiping the Lord and they're praising God in their native tongue. And all of a sudden, that changes. And they start speaking a language. And this doesn't happen in all cases, of course, but every once in a while, it happened in the book of Acts. And they'll start speaking a language they never learned. And someone standing nearby understands that language, and God speaks to that person through them. It's a miracle. But for most people, they'll just begin speaking a heavenly language that they don't understand. But I promise you, God understands it. And you know what? We all need to exercise that every day. I'm not saying you have to do that to go to heaven. I'm saying we have the privilege of staying full of the Holy Ghost. Why wouldn't we want to? I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. He didn't mean I'm better than you because I speak in tongues more than you. He's saying, I need to stay full of the Holy Ghost to keep victory in my life. And he was teaching them, don't be afraid to speak in tongues. It's not some spooky thing. It's a gift of God. And what happens is, as we repent, God forgives us and we begin to praise and thank God. The best thing you can do after you've repented and asked God to forgive you is to begin thanking Him that you've been forgiven. Number one, that seals it in your mind and in your heart, and it builds faith. But as you're praising God, the Bible says He inhabits the praise of His people. And as God begins to inhabit your praise, you'll feel Him. The Spirit of God will be all over you. And then as in your mind and in your heart, you begin to sense the Lord there. Let Him take control of your mouth. Let Him take control of your heart. And let, if you begin to sense God wanting to speak through you. And it may begin, it's different for everybody. It's not exactly the same for everybody. But you'll begin to sense, it's kind of hard to speak English. You know, maybe I've been saying hallelujah and thank you, Lord, for a while. But kind of, I want to enter into a different realm. But you know, I found it very helpful when someone explained this to me. Because people that have never been taught these things, they kind of, you tend to be afraid of what you don't understand. But you begin to understand, this is of God. It's nothing to be afraid of. And you begin to sense the Lord. He may just put a few syllables in your mind. I'm not kidding. Speak that out as you're praising God. And it'll turn into a wonderful prayer language between you and God. Guess what? Satan cannot understand it. You'll take care of things. Speaking with tongues that you would never take care of just by trying to pray in your natural language. Stand to your feet if you would with me tonight. Would you lift your hands with me right now? Father, I thank You for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You said ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me in all the world. O Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost, so full to overflowing. Let the church arise in this end time hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you right now to begin praising God from the top of your voice with your whole heart tonight. Begin to magnify the Lord. If there's somebody near you that wants the Holy Ghost, I encourage you just to slip a hand on their shoulder and begin to pray with them. If you want to come forward, this altar is open. If the Lord is talking to you, maybe you need a miracle in your life and you want special prayer. Maybe you're here tonight and you need a supernatural healing in your body. Whatever the need might be, I encourage you to step out from your pew and make your way. We'll pray for you. We'll anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your voices unto the King of Kings tonight. Praise God. Come on, think about it. Oh, yes. Sing it. What a day that's going to be.
The one who said